Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've been working through Mark's Gospel, and today we come to Mark's Gospel chapter 9. Jesus is going to experience something which really is almost like a flashback to when he was in heaven. Something of his glory, something of his brightness, his majesty. We see that he takes Peter, James and John, and they go up a high mountain and they're all alone. I guess Peter, James and John don't know what's coming, and they have all sorts of anticipations, but what they certainly couldn't have reckoned on was exactly what was going to happen. Jesus was transfigured before them. What we read is that his clothes became dazzling white, and not only if that was enough, two figures appear. One is Elijah and the other is Moses. Interesting that they were clearly recognizable. Was quite remarkable again. Peter, James and John would have been familiar with the stories of these men, but of course they'd never met them. So that was quite something. Well, Peter says to Jesus, "It's good for us to be here. Why don't we put three shelters up? One for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah." I think in some ways he was just a bit confused, because it was quite a frightening experience. He wanted to respond, as Peter always did. But how to respond? What should he say? So this idea of the shelters comes up. But then there's a voice coming out of the cloud, the distinct voice of Almighty God himself. And the Lord speaks, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept talking to themselves, what is this rising from the dead? Well, we know that Jesus was going to die and he was going to rise from the dead. But for them, it was just a little bit confusing. And they said, "Why do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they've done to him everything they wish, just as is written about him." Jesus is not fazed by this experience. He was far more familiar with glory than he was with the dirt and grime of a sinful world. And yet he identified, came into this world for us. When they come down from the mountain, well, quite a commotion is going on. There's a young boy, and he is in the crowd, and basically he's possessed of a demon. And they don't know what to do with him. They're totally beside themselves. The disciples, the other disciples, they've been trying to sort it out, but they've got nowhere. And they're just so relieved, I guess, that Jesus has come back down. And Jesus said, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they bring the boy to Jesus, and when the spirit in that boy sees Jesus, he can't stay in there any longer. The boy falls to the ground, the demon comes out, and Jesus has delivered him. Well, this is a story that's going to teach the disciple quite a lesson, and they're going to have to learn that although they have the authority to cast out demons, they've got to be very close to God. They've got to pray more. They've got to wait on him more to move in his power. We must leave it there. My good friend Patrick will join me in just a moment, after we've heard some worship, to discuss a little more the fascinating events at the beginning of Mark chapter 9.
when I'm broken, you heal me. When I'm empty, you fill me. And what more could I ask for? Jesus, you're all I need.
I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. Whatever I go through, I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. Whatever I go through.
Beside me in my longest night, you never leave me or let me go. Your love the greatest, and what more could I ask for? Jesus, you're
I go through. I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. Whatever I go through.
I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. Whatever I go through. I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. I'll keep on praising you. Whatever I go through.
Yeah. I'll keep on praising you, God.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about Mark chapter 9, and starting, Richard, with this extraordinary story of the Transfiguration. Why did Jesus do this?
Well, clearly the Father was leading him, because that's how Jesus operated. He went up on the mountain. I think Jesus is becoming outwardly conscious, probably inwardly conscious all the time of the cross, but outwardly, now the cross is very, very much on his mind, and he's going to talk about that more, and of course it's not going to be too long before he goes into Jerusalem on his way to death. So I think it's a kind of a preparation for the cross. He's reminding himself, God reminds him, you're my son, you're on track, you're in my will.
And why just those three disciples?
Well, that is a difficult one. I really don't know why those three, except that maybe there's the principle that there's always going to be an inner circle. There's always going to be the need to have those who will then share with the wider group. And to try and share everything with 12, that was not a massive group, but that would have been difficult. So I think Jesus chooses these three. It's like drawing them in a bit closer, but not as favourites, but in order that they will be able to convey things to others. And this story is definitely going to be something they'll be talking about.
They were obviously baffled in terms of what was happening and why the things were happening. So what does it tell us actually about Jesus? It reveals in a very striking way, surely, that Jesus was very much more than just a man.
Yes, indeed. I think that it's like this is the true Jesus. Not that the other one wasn't true, but it's like here's Jesus in his fullness. And he's been hiding that deliberately and consciously, because after all, if they'd seen this all the time, this would have been impossible to do anything, to move around or whatever. So it's like, this is who I am. And that declaration, that statement of glory, brightness, radiance, and the Father speaking from heaven, it's very powerful.
So the other story in this section, starting at verse 14, the healing of this boy, why did the disciples have a problem with that? Why couldn't they do it?
It seems that they perhaps were still not geared up to really listening to the voice of the Father. They'd seen Jesus do it, but it's like if you're going to see the ministry of Jesus through your life and ministry, it's not just like adopting a formula. They would have heard Jesus say, come out, and perhaps they said, come out. But it's more to it than that. It's to do with our relationship with God. It's to do with faith. It's not just like a prescription, here's a problem, this is what you give. It's moving much more closely, intimately with God.
And it does kind of remind us, doesn't it, or has echoes of what actually quite often happens today, that we might pray for somebody to be healed and we don't always see it.
Yes, certainly that element is there. We do find ourselves frequently in situations where perhaps we're not absolutely certain what the will of God is. We have that general sense that God wills good and the best, but it's not easy to believe sometimes that the best is for our loved one to go to heaven. We want to hang on to them as long as possible. So I think sometimes that clouds again, what is God saying? And sometimes we have to listen, the time has come. And sometimes we have to hear, no, persevere, dig your heels in spiritually and keep going for it.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark chapter 9 in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.